light to guide our feet, the 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear now the word of the Lord, as recorded in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, the reading begins at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather in, read it once again now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, how... Okay, reading once again now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 29. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Don't play with consuming fire. Don't play with consuming fire. Our topic for this worship service: don't play with consuming fire. It is dangerous to know just part of the characteristic of an entity. It is dangerous to just know a little bit about something. A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. One man said, "Drink deep," and indicated that if one did not drink deep, one would not taste the essence of the depths and the goodness there was to be experienced. Drink deep, read deep, look deep, study deep, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Drink deep. Don't play with consuming fire. Knowing a little about an entity can be dangerous. A truck parked on a hill, someone knowing that by pushing a certain lever, the truck will move, and the person gets in and pushes that lever, and the truck comes careening down the hill. It's dangerous not knowing how to deal with that truck. A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. There are people who know very little about God, and yet they want to say that they are in good standing with God. They want to say that they know about God what they need to know. Many people have heard that God is love, and indeed God is love. Many have heard that God is gracious, and indeed God is gracious. Many have heard that God is merciful, and indeed Almighty God is merciful. Many have heard that God is kind, and indeed He is of great kindness. He is plenteous in mercy. He is gracious. He is love and loving. He loves us with an everlasting love. But many do not realize that our God is a consuming fire. And if you know that God is love, and you know that God is merciful, you know that God is kind, if you know that God is gracious, but if you do not know that our God is a consuming fire, you don't know enough about God. In Hebrews chapter 12, Paul begins with the admonition to get rid of sin. To get rid of sin. Our God, though He is love and loving, though He is gracious and merciful and kind, He does not like sin. Our God hates sin. He hates sin. He hates sin so much that He has declared that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One thing we can say about the Apostle Paul is that he seemed to have a good view of the character of God. He tells us about faith, about grace. He tells us what God will do, what God has done. But Paul does not neglect telling us about that side of Almighty God, which is a consuming fire. And Paul boldly makes the statement, our God is a consuming fire. He starts out the chapter by encouraging us to get rid of sin. He starts out Romans chapter 12 by saying, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so Paul, here in so many words, calls us to holiness. For our God is holy, and we are called to be like him. We are called to be holy, just as God, our God, is indeed holy. Paul brings up Jesus Christ. Many of you speak of Jesus, you name the name of Jesus. But the advent of Jesus on planet Earth in the flesh was occasioned by the sin of man. Easter is about sin. The cross is about sin. The resurrection is about sin. What necessitated the close relationship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with man on planet Earth was sin. Man sinned, and without the intercession of Jesus Christ, all of mankind would have been lost. It would have necessitated the scrapping of the new earth, the new world that God made and that is referred to in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. The earth, the heaven that God created, had it not been for Jesus Christ agreeing to intercede and die for man's sin, had it not been for that, planet Earth would have been of no use to God, because man started out sinning. And so planet Earth was salvaged and saved by Jesus Christ. That's what Easter is about. What is Easter about? It is about the sin of man. It is about the fact that man sinned and God came to Earth and interceded so that planet Earth did not have to be scrapped, that man did not have to be just raked off the picture of an annals of time and eternity because he so quickly sinned after God made him. And God made him, mind you, God made man in the very image of God. God made man in the very image of God, and then man sinned. That is a little troubling. It's like a son who bears his daddy's name and goes out and shames his daddy. There's something about being the image of someone else and then going out and shaming yourself and thereby shaming that very image. Jesus came to rescue us. Heaven had a stake in us. We are made, man was made, in the very image and likeness of Almighty God. not the beasts, not the animals, but man was made in the very image and likeness of God. Another reason why the origin of the species and the evolution of man, as seen by some of the anthropologists and the so-called scientists, why it has to be wrong. Man did not evolve into an image and the likeness of God. God made man in the very image and the very likeness of God. Don't play with consuming fire. God is holy, and God wants us to be holy. And without being holy, we cannot go to heaven. There are those in the Christian church now who do not put much emphasis on holiness. And apparently a lot of preachers don't preach it anymore. But let us look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. The Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, you may want to argue the construction of that sentence and say, in order to see the Lord, you must have peace and holiness. I won't take time to do theological types of sparring with you on that. I will say, though, as one who did major for some time in English, that the word closest to the clause which says, without which no man shall see the Lord, is the word holiness. So however you want to read that sentence, assuredly, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The verse reads, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so we can clearly and totally establish that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. This ought to cause you to take a look at your Christian life. For the Holy Bible is very clear that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Paul goes on to talk about sin. He mentions Esau and his sin and how he sought repentance and he sought to recover what he had lost, but he could not recover it. He gave it up, and he could not recover what he had lost. And then Paul reminds us that we are coming not to the church in the wilderness, so to speak. We are not coming to that mount which was indeed under an act of God when Moses was there and God was working through Moses. So Paul mentions that in verse 18. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, Paul says, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That was a touching and unnerving experience that they had there at what I would call the church in the wilderness, with Moses as the leader under God. But Paul goes on to elevate that. You see, these are earthly scenes. But Paul reminds us now that that to which we can come now is greater. That in the wilderness was just a picture of this. But now we're coming to the real thing. That was just a similitude that God allowed to suffice. Though God was real and they were real and God spoke with them there. But we have, I would say, a greater covenant. We have a covenant that even Jesus Christ is the one who, I would say, holds together. For everything concerning us and God is held together in Jesus Christ. So Paul goes on beyond now the experience of the church in the wilderness, at which time the experience was so momentous that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Moses talked with God, and yet at this experience, Moses exceedingly feared and quaked. But our experience is greater than that. Can you grasp that, my friend? Will you grasp the importance of our experience with Almighty God, greater than that of the church in the wilderness? Paul brings it out here to us now in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and following. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and following. Paul paints this wonderful, 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 wonderful picture of where we have come. We are at a higher and more holy level than that church in the wilderness. Can you view this picture? View with me this picture that the Apostle Paul paints here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and following. View with me the tapestry of this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful word picture. View this with me as I read in your hearing what the Apostle Paul says as he tells of where we've come. They had come to that, the church in the wilderness, and it was momentous. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and following. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Isn't that wonderful? Can you see this picture? Can you see from the Old Testament that scene in the wilderness, that scene there as they began their wilderness journey? Can you see that scene and now transfer your mind's eye from that real scene to this heavenly real scene that we come to, that Paul describes in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. Let's read it once again. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Let me read that verse again properly. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I can say hallelujah to that. I can say hallelujah to that. For good measure, let's read it once again. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. What a wonderful picture. What a wonderful picture. How dare we bring our sins into this scene? How dare we bring our dirtiness? How dare we bring our sinful baggage, our earthly sin? How dare we bring our weights and our sins into this scene? How dare we try to bring our sins into the heavenly Jerusalem? How dare we try to dirty up God's holy city? But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What a wonderful, wonderful promise, a wonderful destination every Christian has. No wonder Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. In order to get into the heavenly Jerusalem, you need to be holy. In order to get into the heavenly Jerusalem, you need to be holy. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. My friends, we, in my opinion, have many stork Christians. S-T-O-R-K. I believe the stork is the bird that sticks its head in the ground, believing that if it cannot see the hunter cannot see it. If I'm wrong, then put in the correct bird. But there is a bird that, when being hunted, or when in the presence of a threat, I am told will stick its head in the ground, imagining that because it cannot see its predator, that its predator cannot see it. There are millions of Christians, in my opinion, who are like that bird. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear that people must be holy. They will stick their heads in the ground. They don't want to hear this. But just like that bird, just because they refuse to hear doesn't mean that the action will not impact them in a deadly way. Oh, it is a horrible time for millions of Christians who've been tricked by Satan to stick their heads and their ears in the ground, somehow believing that if I don't know what God requires, God will not hold me responsible for it. That is stupidity. That is stupidity. They don't want to hear it because they plan to plead, well, Lord, I didn't know that. God already knows your heart. He knows you don't plan to do right. And he knows that's why you don't want to hear it. And don't think God is going to be foolish enough to let you go because you think that you outwitted God, that you tricked God, that you decided, well, if I don't hear it, God can't hold me responsible for it. My friend, I won't even go to the point of telling you how stupid that is. How stupid that is. How stupid that is. At least the bird is dealing with men and other animals, but you are trying to trick God. You are trying to trick God. The man might laugh and say, I'm going to let that bird live. But God is not laughing. And God knows your heart. And he has commanded, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Paul very clearly points out in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That speaks clearly for itself. That speaks clearly for itself. Verses 22 through 24 of Hebrews chapter 12 gives us that wonderful picture of the destination of those who are holy. And you think, some of you think you're going to bring your sinful self into the heavenly Jerusalem. And you're going to be so disappointed when God does not allow you to bring your weights and your sins into the holy Jerusalem. Paul starts out Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 1 by saying, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. But you plan to show up before him not having endured any crosses, not having encountered shame. And if he says, why didn't you do what I did? What did you do, Lord? I endured the cross, despising the shame. If you wanted to get into the heavenly Jerusalem, why didn't you do that? Didn't you hear my preachers tell you that I endured the cross, despising the shame? You knew that. And yet, though you knew that, now you are showing up before me with the weights and the sins that you refuse to lay aside. And now you want to get into the heavenly Jerusalem. And you knew that I endured the cross and despising the shame for you, and yet you still refuse to lay aside every weight and the sin that did so easily beset you. You refuse to run with patience the race that was set before you. Paul told you to run with patience. But no, you wanted to be in the fast lane of the world. Everything the world did, you wanted it. You were in the world's fast lane. And Paul told you very clearly in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But no, you wanted to run in the fast lane with the world, looking unto the people and philosophies of the world, and now you want to come into the heavenly Jerusalem. Don't set yourself up, my friends, for that. Don't play with consuming fire. Don't play with consuming fire. You want to run in the fast lane of the world. and you want to partake of everything in the world, and yet you want to bring your sinful self into the heavenly Jerusalem, after Paul has told you in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. No, I'm afraid that your sins and your weights will not be admitted to the heavenly Jerusalem. It's a wonderful place, as we see in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God. This is the city. Can you imagine? That's the city of the living God. You're going to bring your sin into the city of the living God? Who do you think you are? You are going to bring your sin into the city of the living God. He has prepared a place for you and your sin. That place is hell. That's where you take your sin. You lived in the fast lane, and you imbibe the philosophy of the world, and now you want to come into the city of the living God, the holy heavenly Jerusalem? Are you crazy? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Paul is not the only one that testified of this kind of view and this kind of vision. Paul talks about the innumerable company of angels. But John also talked about that great company. That great company of angels. Listen to what John says here in Revelation chapter 7. You see, Paul makes the mention of an innumerable company of angels. He's one witness. But let me give you witness number two in Revelation chapter 7. Listen, Revelation chapter 7, beginning reading at verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Let's read that again properly. Revelation chapter 7, beginning reading at verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's why you got to be holy. Now, we talked about the people, and about the people from every nation and every kindred and every tongue. He saw also many, 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 many angels, thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. Paul calls them an innumerable company of angels. John talked about 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. John, if you look in Revelation chapter 5, listen to what John said in Revelation chapter 5. Now, we saw the 144,000 sealed of the people of Israel, and then we saw that great number from every kindred, every nation, every people, every tongue. And we see here now in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, listen to this witness who agrees with Paul. Paul talks about an innumerable company of angels. Listen to how John says it in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. So John characterized them. Their number has been 10,000 times 10,000, and he just said thousands of thousands. Paul, in Hebrews chapter 12, characterizes them as being an innumerable company of angels. Now let's go back and read this now, this heavenly scene. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Then Paul goes on to admonish us here. Don't take this thing lightly. Listen to what Paul says in verses 25 through 29. Many of you are, you have your heads in the ground. But listen to this warning from Paul here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And this word, my friend, I'm reading to you, this is God's word. And many of you have your heads in the ground trying to cover your ears because you don't want to hear what God requires. Don't play with consuming fire. Don't play with consuming fire. Listen to Brother Paul here now as I read again. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 28. Let me read once again those last two verses that Paul gave us, and then we'll end this worship service. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29.